Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There it is. His music is back. Welcome back. Evening show. Joe Giglio with you. And joining us now is Bo Wolf of The Athletic. Bo, we haven't played in with that one in a long time.
I'll tell you what, when the drums hit there, it's, I mean, what a moment. I think the kids would say that that song slaps.
The goosebumps were present here in the studio. I can tell you that much.
I know that that's right.
Bo of The Athletic joining us. Talk some Eagles as free agency is, I guess, 2 days old now, but it's more like 4 days old. The Eagles made some moves early. Been more quiet today, but introducing Deshaun, Malik Jackson. Bo, give me your big picture thought on the Eagles and how they've done so far here at the start of the beginning of the new league year.
I think they have done a very good job so far. There are some moves that still need to be made, but the two big moves, Deshaun Jackson and Malik Jackson, I think are both players who fit the precise roles that the Eagles needed to fill. In Deshaun Jackson, you have a guy who can finally stretch the field for this offense. They have been trying to sort of patchwork that role over the past couple seasons. First, it was Torrey Smith, then it was Mike Wallace. These are sort of poor man's Deshaun Jackson. So instead of trying to do that again, they went out and got the real thing. And, I mean, you could see the impact that it had on the offense last year. Everything was so congested. Guys were so close together. I think even if Deshaun Jackson doesn't have this monster season numbers-wise, if he's on the field, sort of the gravity that he has on the field pulling the defense away is going to really open up things for the rest of the guys in the offense. And then for Malik Jackson, obviously the defensive tackle spot outside of Fletcher Cox was a big issue for this team. Timmy Jernigan suffered that mysterious back injury and was not the same. Haloti Ngata was sort of a bust as a signing. And Malik Jackson is a very good pass-rushing defensive tackle. He's not the world's greatest run stopper, but in terms of a guy who can exploit being single-teamed when Fletcher Cox is being double-teamed, I think Malik Jackson brings a lot to the table. So those two signings, I thought, fit precise needs and also like the extra bonus of they don't count against the comp pick formula, so the Eagles are not only filling holes for this year but also set up well for the 2020 draft.
Bo, the other decision, and really doing nothing was the decision, was about Nelson Agholor, who had over $9 million owed on his fifth-year option here for 2019. The Eagles decided not to do anything, which means that money is now his, and he's going to be back here next year. Are you surprised with how, let's say the whole thing, how they handled Nelson here? Because typically teams will either let a player like this go, trade him, or re-sign him. But the Eagles are doing none of those things. They're keeping him, as of right now, for 1 year left on his deal.
I was a little surprised, and I am surprised at how this sort of played out. Now, that said, they can still trade him if somebody comes calling. And his number is a little bit of an overpay for, especially for what his role is going to be in this Eagles offense. I mean, he is going to be, at best, the fourth option after Deshaun, Alshon Jeffrey, and Zach Ertz. And I think there's a good chance he's going to be more like the fifth or sixth option if Dallas Goedert is on the field, and then there's also whoever the running back is out of the backfield. So you look at Nelson Agholor's numbers over the past couple of years, even though he has been fairly productive, he has not been targeted very often. His sort of target share is very low, I think bottom 10 in the league. So it's going to be an interesting sort of story in the locker room. Nelson Agholor now is on this one-year deal, so he is knowing that he needs to put up numbers for free agency next year. Who knows if he will be frustrated by the relative lack of targets that he's going to see. But it is a lot of money that the Eagles are now putting into the wide receiver position. But at the same time, you know, you go out and get Deshaun Jackson. That is a win-now move. That is a 2019 move. I can see the thought process behind keeping Nelson Agholor. He is obviously, at this point, a better slot receiver than whoever you would replace him with in free agency. So I think it makes the team better this year. It is a little bit curious, and I am not 100% sure that this is exactly how they are going to go into the season.
Bo, you mentioned there they're pouring a lot of money into the wide receiver position. One position they're not pouring almost any money into is running back as of right now. And off the jump, that doesn't really surprise me. I never thought they should or would go after a guy like Le'Veon Bell. But when the contract numbers came in for both Mark Ingram, 315, and then Tevin Coleman, 210, I was surprised that the Eagles, who right now have very little on the depth chart at running back, did not jump at the opportunity to get one of those guys. What do you make of the game they're playing at running back, which is obviously to wait this thing out and either a secondary free agent or a trade before the NFL draft? What are your thoughts on the running back situation right now?
Yeah, I mean, Howie Roseman has never been one to commit significant resources to the running back position, and I think that in today's NFL, that's probably the right move. It's not to say that running the ball is not important. It's just that running backs themselves are sort of replaceable, and there's not a big difference between the, you know, 8th best running back and the 35th best running back. Now, in terms of those two guys who signed elsewhere, I think the Coleman contract was surprisingly low. I think that probably tells you that there's maybe something else going on there in the market. I don't know if he has medical issues or anything like that. And the fact that Mark Ingram got more than him, I think, was a little bit of a surprise. But Tevin Coleman is more of a receiver than he is a running back. He's not that good of a runner, but he is a very good catch receiver. But I don't know what the Eagles are going to do here. I mean, they don't have anybody, obviously, who is a bell cow here, but there are guys who can fill roles. Corey Clement, if he is as good as he was in 2017, he can be sort of your third down running back. I mean, I don't really think that Josh Adams is like a first and second down type of guy. I think he's someone who should be fighting for a roster spot. I'm sure that the Eagles are going to sign some veteran running back or potentially trade for somebody. Duke Johnson from the Cleveland Browns is supposedly someone who could get traded, and he is a pure receiver, and I think he would make sense here, and that would obviously signal the end of Darren Sproles in Philadelphia. And then I also think that the Eagles will probably draft somebody at running back, and they've got 2 second-round picks. It could be one of those. It could be a fourth or fifth-round pick. And obviously, like, the entire running back room would be so much different if they had hit on that Donald Pumphrey pick. So that sort of does the stink of that pick is why the Eagles are in the situation that they are.
Yeah, it looms large, and it was a mistake. And while I have you here, Bo, let's talk about some of the mistakes that are being made within the Eagles division, specifically the team that plays about 90 minutes up north, the New York Giants. Bo, it is amazing.
Joe, think about this. Like, the Giants signed Golden Tate. Great, good for them. Now they've got two slot receivers with him and Sterling Shepard. But, like, the Eagles play 6 games this year against teams who cannot throw the ball. What a gift that is, and it's probably, all things being equal, why you wouldn't necessarily pay to bring Ronald Darby back, because you play 6 games against these trash offenses.
It's a good point. I mean, the Eagles have such a gift here. I'm not going to say it has gotten to the level of what the AFC East was for a lot of years for the Patriots, but we're trending that way, where the division is just not good. The Cowboys are the only legitimate threat, and even they are limited. But man, Bo, the Giants seem like they have no idea what they're doing. Every day is something worse than the day before. And I didn't think they got ripped off in terms of value back for Odell Beckham, because that's kind of what you get for good players. I thought they got a decent deal. The problem is they re-signed that guy a year ago when they could have traded him. They didn't move on from their old quarterback, and they're taking a big cap hit to trade Beckham now a year after signing him. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, the organization is completely rudderless. There is absolutely no cohesive plan. And even after trading Odell Beckham, okay, maybe you think we thought we could do something this year. It didn't happen. Let's hit the reset button. And then go out and sign a 31-year-old Golden Tate and pay him a bunch of money. Like, there is absolutely no plan going on there. This is the same Dave Gettleman who said last year that position value is a crock, as he said. He drafts a running back. They're going to run Saquon Barkley into the ground. He's going to have 3, productive-ish years, and they're going to get absolutely nothing out of it. And then, if they are ever good again, which who knows, as long as Gettleman's there, I don't think they will be, Saquon Barkley won't be good anymore. It's crazy to think that with the Giants and Washington, like, Jerry Jones is the second-best GM in the NFC.
You're right. I mean, there's the biggest Eagles advantage they have right there, that statement you just made. Bo, last one for you here. The one position that we're not going to talk much about, but I do think it is always going to be of need for the Eagles, and they always treat it as one, is backup quarterback. So Nick is gone, and I'm trying to get over it. He's a Jacksonville Jaguar now. Nate Sudfeld.
I know, these are tough days for you.
It was. And it was weird to see him in that teal. The whole thing just looked odd. But Nate Sudfeld is back. I assume he'll be back with the second-round tender. Do you think that Nate Sudfeld is the backup quarterback to Carson Wentz, or do you think we might be looking at a veteran coming in here at some point?
I think it will be Sudfeld. I think that's how it will end up turning out. But, you know, publicly, Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman said at the Combine that they do want Sudfeld to have to sort of compete for that role. But, you know, the fact that they tendered him at the second-round level tells you that they have a fairly high opinion of him. I know that he is a guy who is extremely well-liked in the locker room. Actually, if you remember from last year, there was a sort of a bizarre Instagram tweet by DeSean Jackson when he was still on the Bucks. Showing a video that Nate Sudfeld had sent him. And I guess they were friendly from their time in Washington. So, you know, Nate Sudfeld is a guy who's friends with everybody in the locker room, including DeSean Jackson, which might surprise you. But I think that they do think that he will be the backup, but they will probably bring in somebody at the veteran level who is, like, not surprised that they would get beaten out. You know what I mean?
I think so, too, but I do think at some point here they need – I'm with them on this, that they need to have some sort of competition just to push Sudfeld. If he's the guy, he's the guy.
Like an A.J. McCarron or something like that who got released by the Oakland Raiders today. Somebody of sort of that level, not somebody who is expecting to be the number two.
Right. All right, Bo, I appreciate you hopping on here. We'll talk soon, and by then the Redskins and Giants will have done more dumb things we can laugh at.
Unbelievable.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, man. There he goes. Bo Wolf of The Athletic. And yes, I didn't think of it the way he put it there. Jerry Jones is the second best GM in the NFC East.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.